are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Wednesday, December the 4th, and two straight 30-point wins for the Pistons, who are back. Are they officially back? We don't know. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the blowout win in Cleveland on Tuesday night while you were watching college basketball. Really a shift in the roles of the Michigan basketball teams as the Spartans and Wolverines get crunched and the Pistons pick up the big win. I'm going to give you my three biggest takeaways from Tuesday night in Cleveland. We're also going to look ahead to tonight. That's right, a back-to-back at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. Should be an easy win for the Pistons, as we all know. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But on Tuesday night, the first game that the Pistons played against Coach John Beilein, still sounds weird, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Pistons get the win, 127-94, snapping a 9-game road losing streak. Pistons now 2-9 on the road in the season. Interestingly enough, the inverse of the road record of tonight's opponent, the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Pistons are 2-9 on the road, and the Bucks are 9-2 on the road. So that should tell you about how tonight's game might go. This is the Pistons' first 2-game win streak of the season. Unbelievable, 8-13. So it took game 21 for the Pistons to get two straight wins on the year. Still alone in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, but still a game and a half behind Orlando, who seems to be putting it together. Really a definite pecking order going on right now. If you haven't noticed in the Eastern Conference, you got the eight teams that are inside the playoffs still. And then you got the Pistons outside of the Eastern Conference. And really, you'd be hard-pressed, in my opinion, to make a real strong case that anybody else in the Eastern Conference, unless there's like a Brooklyn or Orlando injury or Detroit injury, that steps into that role. And again, I'm still predicting the Pistons to miss the playoffs this year at this point, not ruling them out for making the playoffs or anything like that. But, man, we got a real hierarchy of certainly six teams that we expect to be there at the end of the day, a seventh team in Brooklyn that might be in its own tier below that. And, of course, of the six teams, there's more tiers in there. But for the Pistons' purposes, the six-team tier that you're not going to get into, the Brooklyn tier that I'm not exactly giving the coronation to Brooklyn as a playoff team just yet, and then Orlando and Detroit. And as of right now, like I said, I've got Orlando in a mini tier above the Pistons in terms of their chances of making the playoffs because of how terribly the Pistons have done against these horrible teams that they've been losing to night in and night out. For the first time in franchise history, though, we can't say the Pistons didn't take care of business on Tuesday night. First time in franchise history, the Pistons have won two straight 30-point games. Hard to believe when they flash that stat on the telecast on Fox Sports Detroit, but it is true. Apparently, the Pistons have not won two straight 30-point games until San Antonio on Sunday and the Cleveland Cavaliers on Tuesday. Pistons improved to 3-7 against the dregs of the Eastern Conference, which is just hard to believe. Improved to 3-7 against the dregs of the Eastern Conference. And we know how easy the schedule has been so far. We know how tough it's going to get later on. I looked it up on Tankathon. The Pistons have the fourth highest strength of schedule, so fourth toughest schedule left in the Eastern Conference. Maybe that drops after the Milwaukee game tonight, as that will now be in the rear view after tonight for the Pistons. But Andre Drummond, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 5 steals, 4 assists, 4 blocks, 3 turnovers in 31 minutes, filling up the stat sheet. Blake Griffin only played 24 minutes, but still had 24 points. One of those best-case scenario games for him, if you have hopes of him contributing in a major way tonight against the Bucks. Got the rest, and he found the stroke at 6 of 7 from three-point land. Speaking of the stroke, 15 for Svi Mykhailiuk, 14 for Langston Galloway. The Pistons were 18 of 35 from 3, 51.4% on the game from deep, 12 points apiece for Markieff Morris and Derrick Rose, who added 9 assists off the bench as well. 33 assists for the Pistons and 11 turnovers. So a great assist-to-turnover ratio there. Poor John Beilein. We saw that the defensive numbers and effort and have been better for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but like I said, not a lot of defensive talent. I wasn't really impressed with a single player on this team on this night. I know that's how it goes sometimes in the NBA, but I wonder if these guys giving at maximum effort, setting up their defense and their effort level as a team so far, you know, 20 games or so into the season, maybe that's got their legs a little bit tired is kind of the thing I was thinking of. This looked like a very tired Cleveland Cavaliers team tonight, and I wonder if John Beilein's kind of worn on them a little bit after they were trying to maybe impress them a little bit in training camp and early on in the season with their effort. We know it's a long NBA season, and it looks like it's certainly going to be a long rookie season for Coach John Beilein on the Cleveland sideline. But the Pistons continue, like we said, tonight at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons right now are 1-3 on the second half of a back-to-back. However, that's a little bit cloudier or a little bit rosier than it should be. They're 0-3 when at a rest disadvantage on those second half of back-to-back, which is what they will be tonight as Milwaukee's been in Detroit all night over on Tuesday, hanging out and getting ready for the game. And then the Pistons continue their week with the Indiana Pacers in town on Friday for the fourth and final time this season. The Pacers will try to get a season split against the Pistons, and the Pistons will try to win that season series with a game on Friday night at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons will have Saturday and Sunday off before returning to action on Monday at the New Orleans Pelicans. And that was supposed to be the first time the Pistons got their first look at Zion Williamson. Obviously, that is not the case, and he will be out. So more winnable games ahead on the schedule after tonight. Certainly, we expect Milwaukee to do what Milwaukee does and pound the Detroit Pistons tonight. But Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and 2 Audible originals absolutely free. Books on tape is a great gift and something you should probably add to your life to be always learning when you're going about your daily commutes and all the business that you take care of at the gym and all that other stuff, walking the dog throughout the day. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening on the go, you can visit Audible later on, but check out our list of all the other offers and this one from Audible that we have. Check it out at the Lockdown Spartans or Lockdown Sponsors. I always see sponsors and want to say Spartans. The Lockdown Sponsors page at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Again, that's audible.com/lockedonNBA to take advantage of our special offer. But up next, I'm going to give you my 3 big takeaways from Tuesday night because I told you that you got to stay away from the Pistons and watch college basketball instead. Turns out you should have just been getting your homework done or watching some shows on Netflix or maybe getting some work done or just spending some time cleaning up the house or spending some time with a loved one or something like that. But we got some takeaways for you anyway. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will talk about tonight's opponent, the Milwaukee Bucks, give you the update on what they've been up to. Spoiler alert, they've been beating the crap out of everybody. But the honorable mention of one of my 3 biggest takeaways, so a 4th bonus free takeaway from you guys. Just like a lot of you guys, I watched the Michigan State game after the Pistons played tonight. And I got to tell you, I like me some Trey Jones. That's my guy. I know that the offense has a lot to a long way to go. 6'2", he's not a big guard. Obviously, you'd rather have your point guards be bigger than that. But the passing, the defense, I like that he went back to school for another year to kind of get things going for him. The game-changing defensive plays that he makes for Duke right now, I see that he's projected to go kind of 15 to 21, that kind of range, probably out of the Pistons. Ideally, they'll be picking a lot higher than that. So we'll see exactly where he ends up. Maybe I kind of have a feeling that he's going to rise on the draft boards, 21 in the ESPN Draft Express right now. If there's a world where the Pistons are picking, you know, 7 to 13, something like that, I can see Trey Jones getting into that range and becoming a player that maybe could be coveted around that. Obviously, a long ways to go from now until June, but keep your eye on Trey Jones of Duke. I know there's talented freshmen out there, and there's guys that are more capable. Obviously, I'm going to be watching that UNC Duke game. Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's son, is a guy talked by maybe even the number 1 pick in the draft. Probably a little bit more like three or four with Anthony Edwards of Georgia and LaMelo Ball. Maybe getting a little bit more press right now. James Wiseman, he's going to have a little bit of a mystery because he won't be playing for Memphis until January once again. So, you know, interesting to watch the college basketball landscape. I don't have enough of a feel for this year to say if it's a good draft or a bad draft or anything like that. Obviously, it doesn't appear to be a Zion Williamson or even Ja Morant anywhere in this group, but we'll see. And Trey Jones is my guy. Keep an eye on him. We'll be talking about him as the draft comes closer in 2020. But my third biggest thing from the Pistons' win on Tuesday night, and of course, this is a blowout win. Everything looked good and nothing looked bad for the Pistons tonight, no doubt about that. So not a whole lot to hamper on and be critical of, but Sekou Doumbouya did get back in, played about 3 minutes and change in this one. Had his first career dunk in the final possession of the game for the Pistons, but the possession before that, I was even more impressed with. He took the ball at the top of the key and burst down the lane for a drive and went up for a dunk. I think it was on, I can't think of it right now, maybe Larry Nance, but one of the Cavs, and got, they didn't show a really good replay of it, but looked like he just missed the dunk. It wasn't look like it was blocked, but certainly the defender was in the way. But, man, just love that he wasn't tentative out there. I love the decisive drive and going up for the left-handed dunk in there. And like I said, gets the dunk on the next possession on a really nice pass from Tim Frazier, who's still in the league, contrary to what some of you guys might think. I could have gotten the easy dunk that Sekou had if I could dunk. But, any one of us listening could have knocked down that hoop. But nice to see Sekou out there getting his chance. Certainly, I don't expect him to be creeping into the rotation anytime soon. Maybe after the calendar turns in 2020, especially if this team suffers some injuries on the wing or if a little bit rebuild mode, some trades get made, something like that. I would envision Sekou later on this season getting some real minutes in terms of the back end of the rotation. And if he doesn't, no problem for me. I got no issue with him doing basically a year in the G League, kind of an apprenticeship of sorts for him to kind of get things going. But impressed to see the aggressiveness from Sekou Doumbouya. Not timid, grabbing a rebound on the first defensive possession as well. I love the pregame outfits from him. He's grew up in France, so you know fashion's a thing for him. But he doesn't dress like an 18-year-old trying to fit in. I'm into that. You know, on the bench, we've seen him in suits early on in this season as well. I like that. I'm excited. I'm a Sekou guy. I'm excited to see this thing unfold. Doesn't look like he's going to be shy. So good. Everything's great so far in Sekou Doumbouya land, of course, when nothing of consequence has happened yet in his career. But the second biggest thing to take away from Tuesday night is Reggie Jackson. The news that broke earlier in the day that the Pistons released to the media saying that Jackson's going to be reevaluated in 2 more weeks and that everything's going okay with his back treatment. So obviously that means he's going to be coming back after December 15th. The trade opening of this trade season, probably more like closer to Christmas time. If he's going to come back after that, I mean, we're talking about him getting reevaluated again in 2 weeks, and we'll see how things kind of shake in with him. Obviously, the big question is, what do you do with him? Like any player coming off of a long injury, especially a back one, you got to probably think that back-to-backs, so no pun intended, might be out of the question for him the rest of the way, and that you might ease him into the minutes and all that kind of stuff. But when we talk about him getting back to full strength, whenever that may be, if that may be, for the rest of his career. Keep in mind, he's an expiring deal. He's a guy that's been through so many injuries. A friend of the show said to me in a conversation that maybe he wouldn't be so shocked if this was Reggie Jackson's last year. I'm not reporting anything like that, but just for all that he's been through, and the guy, you know, he obviously has been playing basketball forever, but it seems like a guy who doesn't love the sport, you know. He just kind of doesn't play with the joy that you would expect a guy like most of these guys play with night in and night out. But anyway, as far as returning to the rotation, my answer is best case scenario is you trade Derrick Rose right away. And I mean that so you can get assets for him. I don't have an issue with Derrick Rose. But it's just that a cheap contract and a guy who can really help a contending team, that would be probably your best asset to be able to move at the trade deadline as far as guys that would be relatively easy to trade, and you'll have a lot of suitors for him. Langston Galloway is a shooter. We'll get you some kind of second-round pick or something like that. But in terms of Derrick Rose, I mean, you might start to talk about something better than just a second-round pick. And we'll get into those kind of discussions as time goes on, because now you're locking up a, a pretty good player for $7 million for the next two seasons, and that'd be a nice pickup for somebody out there is that the Pistons decide to go the other way. So that's what I would do. I would trade Derrick Rose. I'd make Bruce the backup point guard behind Reggie Jackson and go with it from there. Keep Svi on the heavy minutes with the second unit. But short of that, without a trade of Derrick Rose, I'm moving Bruce Brown to the bench instead of Luke Kennard and move him around to kind of as a wing and off the ball as well, and kind of have him be playing with some of the starters, some of the reserves. Like I said, play him at point guard some, play him at the wing some, because I know that my future is envisioning him with the ball in his hands and making plays for the Pistons, but he's not there yet in terms of a guy who deserves to have the ball in his hands so much, especially on a roster with guys like Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson as well. So, but maybe that's more of a reason to trade Reggie Jackson and trade Derrick Rose, is so that you can free up possessions and free up time for the ball to be in Bruce Brown's hands so he can develop and have it look ugly at times this year in his second year in the NBA, as we've seen at times this year. But a valuable piece that needs to be developing offensively and not just shoved to the bench or shoved in the corner off the ball on things that we know he doesn't do very well. Despite the fact, knocked down another three today, up around 35-36% on the season from three-point land right now. And we'll see how it all shakes down. But two more weeks before we have to think about that for Reggie Jackson. And the most important thing from the night, we talk all about Andre Drummond, and sometimes it's negative. We talk about him so much all the time here on the show. And it looked like another rough start, didn't it, right? The lefty hook on the first possession. We've never seen Andre Drummond really make that shot. Missed badly. The outlet pass to nowhere to Blake Griffin early on in the game, contrasted with Kevin Love, who's the generation's best outlet passer all the way down the court. The drive that Nate Duncan highlighted on Twitter that's got everyone all fired up. And then even the one-on-two break that he had after he had the nice steal, stripped the opponent, and then he traveled a couple times before that was uncalled before he lost the ball. And I think it was Bruce Brown. One of the Pistons got a foul right after that. Kind of a blooper reel of sorts. And really, we're used to seeing Dre. I promise I'm going to be positive here. But we're used to seeing Dre make something like 4-7, in my mind, what the hell are you doing every night kind of plays. Not just turnovers, but completely ill-advised shots. I remember another pass he had to Griffin tonight that thankfully got knocked out of bounds by a Cleveland Cavalier that was just asking to get turned over. Again, just for all the things that he's adding to his game, and it's a lot of good things, we just still, for a 26-year-old guy who's eighth year in the league, we just still see things that NBA veterans should not be doing on the court. And I know it's gets old with a lot of you guys to see people grab one highlight from one game and wrap up Andre Drummond's night in that way. And this is one of those nights where the positives far, far away the negatives for Andre Drummond. And we see these often, more often than not, the positives far outweigh the negatives for Andre Drummond. But man, it's just, as far as a big thing I take away from this game, I'm not going to watch and forget about those 4-7 or 8 horrifically, like, what in the hell are you doing type of plays from Andre Drummond. Now, again, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 5 steals, 4 assists, 4 blocks, making big block shots, thunderous highlight reel block shots, Colin Sexton sending him all over the place, assists, steals, ripping ball handlers, in the backcourt and all that good stuff, all the rebounds, I think 4 offensive rebounds as well. 17 points, finishing around the rim, dropping some other passes from Luke Kennard as well. Some of them ill-advised from Luke, always passing them too low to Andre Drummond. Some things that we just, like, these guys never quite learn on. And I know that's making Dwayne Casey age in front of our very eyes. And, I wish that we could cut down those what in the hell are you doing plays from Andre Drummond night in and night out and see more nights like Tuesday when the good of Andre Drummond is just shown in a major, major way. He was doing work. He was obviously giving every effort. We don't even have to mention that he's giving effort because he gives effort every night. That narrative should be dead. But, man, it would be just nice to cut out some of those what in the hell are you doing kind of plays from Andre Drummond. But up next, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Go back to the negative a little bit here and preview what's in store for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Pistons are 6.5-point dogs going in tonight against Milwaukee. And you know what? My feeling is we might as well play back-to-backs against the Milwaukee Bucks. We're not going to beat them anyway. So this will be the second time the Pistons will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks on the second half of a back-to-back. The Bucks come in at 18-3 with a 12-game winning streak, including a 9-game winning streak against your Detroit Pistons, including the playoffs. You remember, 8-0 last year. The NBA's best record by a half a game over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Bucks are feasting on the Eastern Conference's Central Division, 6-0 there, looking to go 7-0 tonight. How about this, though? Can we just set a goal that this season that the Pistons snap the losing streaks to the Charlotte Hornets and the Milwaukee Bucks, both of them, not one of them, but both of them? You got three more shots at Milwaukee and one more shot at Charlotte in February after the trade deadline. Let's do this. Let's rally. Got two home games against the Bucks. One of them's tonight. No one's saying this game is impossible to win. No NBA game is impossible to win. You catch a team on a bad night, you get the crowd going. Like I said, Blake Griffin should be available tonight after playing just 24 minutes. I am less hopeful that Derrick Rose will be available. The injury report from Milwaukee's not too helpful. Brooke Lopez is probable. That could be good news for Andre Drummond if he gets maybe less minutes than usual. The player of the Lopez twins that Andre has the most trouble with. Sterling Brown is questionable. That could be news, good news for the Pistons there. Maybe he gets held out. He's been held out for at least a couple games now. Like I said, I don't expect to see Derrick Rose tonight. They did good to pull Blake Griffin early and be able to limit his minutes on Tuesday night in case they want to do it. And by the way, watching Blake, you know, obviously the shot falling for the first time in a very, very substantial way since he's been back is the best news of that. But I've just been thinking that it looks like he's getting his wind a little bit. He looked like he's becoming a little bit closer to the player he was last year. It looked a little rough those first couple games, as we know. We talked you down off the ledge here on the Locked On Pistons podcast and said, hey, maybe it's not the knee, maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's a little bit of both. But, yeah, it appears he's getting stronger, getting more healthy as time goes on. So kudos to the medical staff for that. But like I said, it didn't seem to matter to Dwayne Casey to get Derrick Rose out of there in the fourth quarter, which is an indication to me that he's going to get shut down tonight. But keep an eye on my Twitter feed at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Throughout the day, we'll drop the 5:30 report will be the most revealing one, but we'll see if there's anything on the report from 1:30. When teams are on a back-to-back, they don't have to report their injury report as early as you do normally. The Bucks had to report theirs at 5:30 the day before the game, but since the Pistons were playing on Tuesday night, they don't have to report till 5:30 the day of the game. So that's kind of the inside knowledge on that. But Locked On NBA, great daily bite-sized look at yesterday's action and what is happening around the league. Rejecting the Screen is another Locked On Podcast Network show that you should be checking out. Great wide-ranging NBA talk on Tuesdays, and on Thursdays, a long-form interview as well. And then, of course, the Hollinger and Duncan show, a must-listen for me every week. That's once a week with the amazing insight of John Hollinger, former Memphis Grizzlies front office staff member and ESPN analytics founder, basically, in a lot of ways. And give me a call on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Let me know what's on your mind, as Pistons fans will throw out some topics over these next couple weeks to get us through the holiday season. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's go beat the Bucks. Why not, right? And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.